a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show kindness. Yes, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded screen.
All right. That's a good one, huh? That's a hymn. You heard about the lady in church that wanted to sing, select a hymn. So the pastor said, okay, you can select a hymn. So I went, him and him and him. What's that got to do with the lesson? Absolutely nothing. I just, a little short of material, and I thought I would just... You know, that's not the truth. Oh, all right. Well, just show a little kindness. That's what we're going to be talking about today, and kindness and goodness. An adventure in that. I'll show you some stuff about that that I don't think you've seen before. I hadn't. So, you know, it's going to be really good. This is the end of the Proverbs series. We have done, this is my 15th. Doug did one, so that's 16 sermons on Proverbs. And so it's been a wonderful adventure, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have and gotten some wisdom from it. So, it wasn't long ago, I was wheeling into Walmart parking lot on two wheels, and I had had a horrible day, and things had, nothing had gone right. It was one of those kinds of days, and I was attempting to fix something, and in attempting to fix it, I broke it. And now I've got to replace it, and, you know, and I was just having all these emotions and feelings, and I know you've been there. When those kinds of things happen, I want to sin. I'm thinking bad words. I want to say bad words. I don't, because I'm a man of God, but that's where I am. You know, that's how I felt. And so I was in a hurry. My day had been messed up. I had things I wanted to do, and now this has come around, and now I've got to do this, and I'm frustrated. So as I wheel into Walmart looking for a parking place, I notice this older lady pushing a buggy full of groceries and things, you know, that she had purchased, and she was semi-aimlessly walking around looking, and I could tell she had lost her car. And so I found me a place. You know, I'm in a hurry, so I try to find one as close as I can. Well, I'll try to do that if I'm not in a hurry. But anyway, I was trying to find a place. And as I get out and I'm double-timing it into the store, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, help her find her car. And I said, I don't think so. I got stuff I want to do. And I began to make excuses. And so the Lord says, well, you know what Proverbs says. Now, we were in our study, and of course, I'd been reading Proverbs. And I did know what Proverbs said. So let me show you what Proverbs says here. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, it says, your own soul is nourished when you're kind. Your own soul is nourished, but you destroy yourself when you're cruel, when you're not kind. And so, when it hit me and the Lord spoke to me, I stopped, you know, and slowed my pace. And this biggest part of me was saying, I don't have time for this. I've got stuff I want to do. And, Lord, I'm already frustrated. I don't want to do this. And besides, I don't want to embarrass this woman by making her admit that she's lost her car. And don't look at me funny, because I know you make excuses too to the Lord when you feel to do something. And that's the biggest part of me. But there's this good part of me. This very good part of me, by the way. That says, do it. Do it. And so okay. So I did. So I ewed a little bit and went over there to where she was. And I stood a little distance from her so she could hear me, but not hit me. And I said, ma'am, have you misplaced your car? And I said it with a smile on my face. And she just kind of looked at me for a moment. wondering what kind of wacko this was, I suppose. And never would have expected somebody to come and try to ask her, has she lost her car? And she looked at me for a minute, and I was wondering if she was even going to respond. And then finally she did, and she said, yes, I thought I parked it right here. And I said, do you mind if I help you find it, locate it? And she paused, and she must have been thinking, this is a very unusual person. and then finally she says, well, yes, I guess so. And I says, well, why don't you let me push the buggy, and we'll walk. And I said, what kind of car was it? What was the make? And she says, I don't know. And now I'm thinking, what have I gotten myself into? This lady's got Alzheimer's, and here I am. And so I said, well, what color was it? I knew certainly she would know the color, right? And she says, it's green. And I said, okay. I said, let's just go to the green cars, and we'll find your car. And you know how large Walmart parking lot is? And we went 15, 20 minutes later, I'm still pushing this woman's buggy, following her around, looking at green cars. And so finally, I'm thinking, you know, I got to get out of this somehow. I've been kind. I've done good here. And so we walk back down towards the front of the store, to the entrance. And she says, in a handicapped parking place where you would suspect that hers would be, she says, that looks like it right there. And it was a brown Buick. I should have known Buick. And so I said, well, let me see the car key. I asked him, if it opens, then we've got the right one. And I'm thinking, and I'm praying, Lord, please let this be the right one. So, yes, it was. It opened up. And I said, yes. and I said, do you put your groceries in the front or the back? And she said, I put them in the trunk. And I said, okay. I said, let me put them in there for you. So I unloaded her stuff and put it in there for her. And she's just thanking me and thanking me and thanking me. And so I closed the trunk, and she reaches out and she touches my arm, and she looks at me with this very sincere look on her face, and she says, thank you, young man. And that has been a long time since anyone's called me young man. And I said, ma'am, you are more than welcome. I am so happy that I was able to assist you and help you. And I turned around and walked on. And I was walking into the store, and it dawned on me that I had a smile on my face, but not just a smile on my face, but I had a smile in my soul. And the bad things that I was thinking and the bad words I was wanting to say were there no longer. In fact, it did not even matter anymore if I fixed that thing or not. It just wasn't that important. I had done something good, and I felt good. He said, this is what Proverbs teaches us. What Proverbs attempts to teach us all is that when we do good things like that, that we should feel good. It's not only that we should be good people, but we should do good things. We should do good and kind things for people. And every time that you do it or I do it, we do. We feel good, right? It's a rush. It's a high. My daughter Bonnie is a prototype of this for me. And I sent her an email yesterday just telling her this. And because all of her life she's been this way. She never meets a stranger, and she's always doing something for someone. No matter when I talk to her, she's either in the midst of doing something for someone, she's just before doing something for someone, or she has just done something for someone. And it seems like it's this way with her every single day of her life. And even when people seem to take advantage of her, she continues to do it, even for the people that seem to take advantage of her. And you know, I think Bonnie knows something that the rest of us are a little slack in. You see, it makes her feel good. It gives her a rush. It's a buzz that nothing else really does for you. When you just do something good for somebody, do something kind, it gives you this rush and you buzz. And what's happened is your soul has been nourished. You're not destroying your own self. So this is what we're going to be talking about today, about this. And a reason that it feels so good is that it makes us like God. We say this here all the time. God is good, and all the time, God's good. And so when we get to do good, we're like God. And one day this guy came up to Jesus and he said, run up to him, good master. And Jesus just kind of stops him right there. It's kind of abrupt the way he did it. And you know, it's like he's kind of rebuking the guy a little bit. He's, whoa, why call me good? And, you know, and you can imagine what the guy's, what? well, I thought you were. And he says, there's none good but God. If you want to see good, then look at God. So when we're good, we're not being like anybody else but God. When we do good and kind things, we're like God and we're doing actually the very thing why we were born again. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. See, I've got two main things that I really want to hit you with this week because today in this lesson, because they hit me so hard this week. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that. Here's why. Here's why God called you, chose you, selected you, created you anew, born again, new creation, whatever, so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. God's got some good things already planned for you. And it's when you run into this woman in Walmart. You didn't know this woman was alive. I want to believe that God had that plan for me because He spoke to me to go do it. And so God's got some things already planned for us. And I want you to make sure you get it. Why were you created anew in Christ Jesus? Why? To do good things. We are an accurate reflection of Father God. And it doesn't matter if it's a big, huge thing or just helping somebody find their car or a smile on your face or kind words. You've done it. You've done what you were created to do. However, the book of Proverbs doesn't just end there with doing good things. Glenn was singing in a song. On everyone you see, you got to show a little kindness, let your light shine on everyone you see. Well, that's not exactly biblical. And I want to show you this because some people, when you do good and kind things for, you're actually damaging them. And I want you to see this. You see, and I know that sounds contrary to what I just told you. You say, I just told you to do good and kind things. Now I'm telling you, no, you don't do good and kind things for everybody. So let me kind of work here and show you this, because we do actually injure others and we injure ourselves sometimes by trying to do too much. In Proverbs 3:27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Now, what would that mean? Would that mean that there are some to whom it is not due? Don't withhold it from the people that you're supposed to do it for. Goes on, and I'm going to break this verse down into two sections, in the first part and second part, but here's the second part. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now, so there are people that are obviously not supposed to get my goodness and my kindness. So can you think of any specific situation that maybe this would work? This would be applicable. A time when you really shouldn't do good and kind things for people. I want to give you three examples that are biblical, and I think that'll help us a little bit. When the church was initiated in the first century, and people were giving their lives, people were giving their monies and everything they had, their possessions. There were people that were actually leeches that were going around from church to church, and actually taking advantage of the church's goodness. And so the Apostle Paul addressed this, and here's what he said. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. I think that's a pretty good rule. If a man will not work, what? Don't eat. Don't feed him if he won't work. We hear that some of you are idle. I think that's a really nice way of saying lazy. They are busy. They are not busy. They are busy buddies. Such people we command. We're commanding these people. We command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down. Get your stuff together and earn the bread you eat. Get a job. Take some responsibility for yourself. And if anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of him or her. Make a note, this person, make a note. Do not associate with him. Don't give him money. Don't do anything for him. Back away. Don't associate with him or her in order that he or she may feel ashamed. Maybe we can shame them into getting a job and stop leeching off the church. And I thought that was really good. So what wisdom is saying here is do not squander your goodness on people that aren't deserving, to whom it is not due. Don't waste it. Find somebody to whom it is due. And make sure that that's where you put it. Don't do it, because what you're doing is you're encouraging these people not to take personal responsibility for their own lives. You're encouraging them to leech. You're encouraging them to connive and come up with different kinds of ways so that they can leech off of others. They say you're damaging people when you do this. So that's one. Here's another one that wisdom gives us. It tells us to be very cautious about making people dependent upon us by our giving and being good to them. Let me read you this proverb, 16:26. It says, "It is good for workers to have an appetite. An empty stomach drives them on." Do you like that? So what's this saying? It says it's good for people to get hungry. Because when they get hungry, they'll go to work. They'll find a way to feed themselves. And what I watch a lot of times today is I watch parents causing their children to become very dependent upon them. And we have a society who is very bad about doing this. With the welfare state, I'm not against welfare. There are some legitimate situations for it. But for the most part, it's abused. We all know that. And we have created people to become dependent upon the state rather than dependent upon their appetites and getting a job. So what he says here, and I think parents are bad about this. We teach our children to become dependent upon us, and we don't teach them to have an appetite for a life, a good life, and how they should acquire that. We taught our children very early, as soon as they could understand this kind of thing, they had chores to do. There was trash to be taken out, yards to be cut, dishes to be washed, floors to be cleaned. We taught them, and we would give them their money, you know, and we would give them little bonuses if they would do little extra things for us. And as soon as they were able to, go cut somebody else's grass, earn you some extra money, go babysit, do something like that for people, earn yourself a little money so that you can buy the clothes that you want, the things that you want to do, go and have the time that you want. Now, don't be dependent upon us. You're well able. You're healthy. You can do this kind of stuff. And as soon as they were able to go to work, we sent them to work. Buy your own clothes. Pay your own insurance. Make your own car payments. And we taught them early as we possibly could, listen, you're only here with me for a short term. You need to grow up and get a life and become responsible for yourself. Don't be dependent upon me. And this is what the proverb is trying to tell us. It's good for people to have an appetite. It's good for them to be hungry. And both of our children have grown up to be fine, upstanding people. See, what the Proverbs is telling us is don't squander your goodness on people to make them dependent upon you. You harm them. You're not doing them any good. You're hurting them. So another warning that we have is this one. Don't waste your goodness on when you have a mentality of what's in it for me. And Jesus said this in Luke 14, verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, I wonder how many a host would be. That'd be a bunch of people. Said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends. Well, don't invite your brothers or your relatives. Well, that's okay. I'd handle that one. But no, teasing. Don't invite your rich neighbors. Now, wait a minute. If you do, they may invite you back. Yeah, well, that's kind of the idea, Lord. This is... And so you will be repaid. Well, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid when? By how? How will you be paid? At the resurrection of the righteous. I have never seen this connection before. My doing goodness to people is directly connected with my making the resurrection. I'm created anew in Christ Jesus to do good things. I better do them. Things that He's already got planned out for me to do. I better do them. My resurrection is connected with my being good and kind to people. See, it's easy to do things for people who can repay you back. This is the thought here. It's not easy to do things for people who can never repay you back. But if you really want to touch, and Jesus doesn't condemn and say, don't do that. He says, but if you want to make some resurrection points, then focus your goodness and your kindness on people who are financially challenged, or people who are physically challenged, or people who are mentally challenged. I have a sister-in-law. One of my sisters-in-law has a sister-in-law, her husband's sister, who has Down syndrome. I think it's Down syndrome. She was also dropped when she was a baby, so maybe there's two things going on here. And Anne is now 70 years old. And she's one of the most lovable people that you could ever meet. So I only get to see Anne about once a year. We get together at Thanksgiving time, and this last year's Thanksgiving we met at our niece's Brandy's house, who is Anne's niece also. So we met at Brandy's house, and Judy always likes to get down there early so that she can help get set up for the food and all the stuff that's going on. Well, Anne always comes. But Brandy has two brothers, Jeff and Brian. And they're in their early 40s. So Jeff and Brian go get Anne from the nursing home. And they take her and spend the day with her. They take Anne to a beauty parlor. They get her hair fixed. They take her shopping and get some clothes and some stuff. They just spend the day with Anne. These two 40-year-old men with this 70-year-old aunt who has Down syndrome. And they're just taking her out. So we're there, and I'm sitting on the couch. Judy's working, and I'm sitting on the couch watching football when Ann comes in. And as always, when Ann sees me, she comes running up to me. She's 70 years old, but she can still run. She comes running up to me. And she always hugs my neck, tells me she loves me, and tells me she prays for me every day. Every time she sees me, that's what she said. So I'm sitting on the couch, and Ann's sitting right next to me. And so she begins telling me about her day with Jeff and Brian, how they've gone to do this, and they've gone to do this. They went shopping and went to the beauty parlor. And then she flips her hair, and we all know how, I'm not going to try to talk that way because I don't like that. But anyway, you know how a Down syndrome person talks. And so she flips her hair, and she looks at me, and she says, I look like a movie star. She was so appreciative of what Jeff and Brian had done for her. And you know, to God, she did look like a movie star. But she wasn't the only star that day to God. Jeff and Brian were stars. This is what Jesus is talking about. When we do stuff for people where there is no way they can repay us back. That's what Jesus is saying here. When you do that, you've touched the heart of God. God's going to give you some special blessings one day, somehow, some way. So the wisdom in the book of Proverbs tells us to not squander our goodness and our kindness on just anyone. If they are leeches, if they're conniving people who take advantage of others, don't waste your goodness and your kindness on them. Another thing that it tells us not to do is facilitate laziness and make people dependent upon us, to encourage them to get an appetite. Shame them if you have to into going to work. But don't waste your goodness and your kindness on that. And then the third thing that the Bible tells us not to waste or squander our goodness and kindness upon is when we have a what's in it for me attitude. Along those lines, let me just throw this into the mix and warn you that there are a lot of organizations and ministries who you should not squander your goodness and kindness upon. Now, I don't know if you've ever been hit by this, but it's not fun. When you're doing goodness and kindness and you find out that the funds that you've been providing and giving are not being used for goodness and kindness. And that's not good. That's not good. But once you have determined that it is a place of goodness and kindness, then jump in. Do it with all your might. Give your time. Volunteer your time and give your monies to it. Because this is why you were created. Proverbs 3:27, let's read that again. Withhold not from them to whom it is due. Then the second part of this verse says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When it's in your power to do it, jump in and do it. Once you've determined that something is well worthy of your goodness and your kindness, then if it's in your power, do it. Don't turn your head, don't turn your face, don't make excuses. Jump in and do it. This is what you were created to do. Ask you a question. Could you imagine a world where everybody, every single person did the goodness and the kindness that they had in their power to do? If every person just did what they had in their power of their own hand to do, think about it. There'd be no starvation. There'd be no poverty. There'd be no wars. Overnight, the world would change. Simply because of goodness and kindness. Another thought in this thing of what's in your power to do is this particular thought. You see, sometimes it's not in your power to do it. You see something that needs done, but it's really not in your power to do it. You don't have the knowledge to do it or the talent to do it. You don't have the skills to do it. You don't have the resources to do it. You don't have the time to do it. You don't have the energy to do it. So what do you do then? Well, what the Lord would have us to do at these particular times is to pray. Pray about this situation, not just pray for the person, but pray for the situation that God would send somebody whose power it was in to have that assignment, that could do it. Someone was telling me not long ago that they had run across, their paths had crossed with this little baby, and for some reason this baby was not orphaned. The mother had either died or left the baby. And the baby was either mentally or physically challenged. And this person, because of such a heart they have, wanted to adopt this baby. And it's a good and a great thing to do. It really would be. But her husband had to say, wait a minute. You see, that is a good and a kind thing to do, but it's really not in our power to do it. And it's not fair to our family to do it. And if we were to try to do this, then we would not be able to do the other things that we know God has called us to do. You see, we've got to realize is that some people feel like they've got to bring all the strays home and raise them. And that's not what God would have us to do. You know, what the enemy will do is put this on you to get you off track. To use your resources and your goodness and your kindness in areas that he doesn't want for you to do. So that you can't do what you're supposed to do. So you've got to realize that this could be going on. So what we do is we've got to realize that we have a big God, right? How many cattle on 1,000 hill does God own? All of them? And he owns the hills too, right? So he's got a lot of resources. That's what it's telling us. And how big is the family of God? It's pretty big. Is it worldwide? So it's a big family. And so God's got the resources. So what we would do in the situation where it's not in the power of our hand to do it, is we would pray, God, give this to somebody else. Assign this assignment to somebody who has the power to do it well and to do it right. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? I know most of you do. Well, let me tell it to you real quickly. This guy was traveling, and he got jumped and beat up badly, stripped and robbed, and left for half dead by robbers. And so these religious people come by, and they saw him, but they walked on the other side of the road from him, making all kinds of excuses as to why they couldn't help this Samaritan, this kind of outcast person. And so they would go on. Well, then comes along a good Samaritan. He rushes to the person. He pours in oils and wine into his wounds. He nurses the wounds. He takes care of him. He wraps him up. He loads him up. He takes him to an inn. He gives money to the innkeeper, puts him in a room, and says, here's some more money for extra days, and when I come back again, if I owe you more, I'll take care of it then. And then he goes on his way doing what he's called to do in life. And Jesus ends that parable by saying this, go and do you likewise. This is how you do it. And so when you investigate and look at that particular parable, you learn some things that there are some goodness and kindness boundaries here, even in extreme situations. You see, though the guy did a lot, he did much, he didn't do all he could have done. He nursed the guy's wounds, but he didn't take the guy home to raise and heal. Right? He put him up in the inn, but he didn't give him, who did he give the finances to? The innkeeper. He didn't give him all the money. He didn't change his life to take care of this guy. What he did was go about what he knew God had called him to do and the life God had given him to live. And then he went on. Now there's something about that that's liberating. When I realize that I don't have to take all the strays home with me, and I have some boundaries around here that if I can just do this, then I've done my part. If I do that, then I'm kind of freed up. It gives me some freedom to do goodness and kindness. Rather than spending all my goodness and kindness on one particular thing, I got more goodness and kindness now that I can use for some other people and some other things. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. This is how you do it. This is how you're good. This is how you love your neighbors. This is how you do life. You put boundaries up. You do what you can. But you don't change what God's called you to do it. And then there's one more avenue of this thing I want to talk briefly about. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says this. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Have you ever gotten tired of just doing what's good? I mean, you know, you got something you know is good. You know you should be doing. Man, it's just wearing you out. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap, look at this now, a harvest of blessings. Not just a blessing, but a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about so many of you who have been here decades. You know, our church is going on 30 years old now. And you've been here with me since I've been here. Decades. And I know you, like me, have gotten tired. You know, but you haven't given up. You've given your tithes, you've given your alms, and you've made a way to help so many people. And while I'm on alms things here, I just want to throw this out to you. If you're not involved with alms, you need to be. I'm hoping today you'll see the importance of doing alms, doing goodness. All alms go for goodness and kindness. And I don't even do it. Don Dowdy does it now. And every week we write 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many checks we write just to do goodness and kindness. All of it goes to goodness and kindness. And we've helped so many people. You have, because you haven't given up. You haven't gotten tired. Oh, you might have gotten tired, but you haven't given up. Let me put it that way. You continue to do it. And you've given tithes, and this facility is because of you. We have a wonderful place where people can come and hear the Word of God the way you believe it should be taught. It's because of you. And here's the point I'm getting to, is that when I look at your lives, I see blessed lives. I see people that maybe were here for a short time, they got tired and they quit and they gave up. And I have conversations with these people. And in the conversations, I'm so sad and I'm so sorry. I walk away from them thinking, oh my goodness, their spirit's not right. Their heart has shrunk. They're self-absorbed in their own situations and dilemmas. They're not thinking about anything but themselves. How sad. Not blessed. Now look at you who have persevered and keep on going, decade after decade. And I look at you, and every single one of you, as I pondered it, are blessed. You have blessed homes, you have blessed families, you have blessed lives. And what I'm making is the Word of God is always true. He hasn't just given you a blessing. You have a harvest of blessings. You're blessed in every dimension of your life. I thank you, and I know the Lord thanks you. Matthew 25:35 says this, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him. And they'll say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in and are needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply. The king of the universe, will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for how many? One. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me. I want you to get this point. See, the economy of God and the way things are registered in heaven is by your goodness and kindness to people. It has an association with resurrection. It has an association as to why you're called and chosen. And when you do one, every single one, of the good and the kind things that you do in life, you're just not doing it for that person. Who are you really doing it for? The king. The king. You're doing it for Jesus himself. And it's registered. Christianity is not a head full of knowledge. Christianity is a heart full of goodness and kindness. You'll never be a wise person unless your life has included in it goodness and kindness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is so, so enlightening and so true. Thank you for providing for us a way just to nourish our soul and get bad thoughts out of our mind and bad words, and disgusted feelings. Thank you. Thank you for putting boundaries around our goodness and kindness so that we're not squandering and wasting our time, our money, our efforts, our wisdom, our knowledge, our resources. Thank you, Lord, for telling us what we should and shouldn't do and how we should spend it. But mostly of all, Lord, thank you that it registers in heaven every single time we do one. Thank you, Lord. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just want to challenge you with this thought. Maybe you, like me, I'm just as guilty as anybody in here. But you'll be doing life and you really feel the impression of the Holy Spirit. You'll think that I need to go and help this person or this family or this particular situation. And then you excuse yourself out of it because you're too busy or you got other things you want to do or maybe you just don't feel like, you know, you want to. How many would today, along with me, say, look, man, I've got a new perspective on this thing. And the next opportunity I've got to do good for one, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a lifestyle of doing good and kind things so that I'll feel good about me and that I'll make certain that I make that resurrection. If that's you, would you, along with me, say to the Lord today, Lord, I am going to do good and kind things from this day forward. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I think that's most of us, if not all of us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we commit ourselves to this. Lord, we see it. This wisdom. It's the right way to live. We live longer. We don't destroy ourselves. We thank you, Lord God, for this. And we ask you to bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Heads still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you just aren't where you need to be with God. And you know you're not. You came in here today. You came to church. But you know you're not having the relationship with him that you really want to have and that you desire to have. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day to fix it so that you can become a good and kind person. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you had committed yourself to him at one time, but you've slipped back. And you've gotten away from the Lord, and you know you're not where you need to be. So maybe today, God's dealing with your heart. And he's saying, I want you to be a good and kind person. I want to renew you again in Jesus Christ. And I've got some good things that I want you to do. If that's you, you just know you're not where you need to be with God today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up right where you're sitting? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. I see a hand here, a hand there, two, three, four, five, 7 or 8 back there, a good deal, good deal. Father,